You ever hear that Dakota proverb about what to do with a dead horse? Just dismount.
Yeah.
And that's what we're thinking about today, how to apply that wisdom at work. Figuring out how to recognize those dead horse situations, where just like that proverb says, the best way to deal with it is to just stop doing the thing that's not working.
Yeah, that's a great analogy for what we're looking at today. We're going to be using some insights from a Dutch contract management expert, and we're going to try to figure out how to spot those situations where tasks and responsibilities just don't line up with people's strengths.
Right. And this expert, he's got a lot of experience working with global teams, and he argues that one of the biggest mistakes that managers make is that they keep throwing resources at a problem when the real issue is that the person who's been assigned to it just isn't right for the task. Like more training, more time, more meetings. It's all just, flogging a dead horse.
It's almost like we're hoping that if we just keep pushing, that things will magically work out. But instead of reviving the project, we just end up feeling more overwhelmed.
Exactly. And this expert, he points out that those common reactions to a stalled project, like, scheduling endless meetings or trying to pressure someone into succeeding,
Yeah.
they rarely work.
They really don't. Instead, they often create more problems by adding to the workload without addressing the root cause. It's more information and it's more pressure, and ultimately, it's more frustration for everybody.
So if those traditional tactics don't work, what Melody does, well, the expert, he suggests taking a strengths-based approach,
Yeah.
specifically using the Clifton Strengths Assessment.
Yeah. Clifton Strengths is a pretty popular tool for identifying someone's natural talents, and it encourages people to focus on developing those strengths instead of trying to fix their weaknesses. It's a much more positive approach, and it can be incredibly effective when it comes to aligning people with the right, responsibilities.
Now, I've heard of Clifton Strengths, but I've never really looked into it. What are some of the core principles behind it?
Well, at its heart, Clifton Strengths is about understanding your unique talents and how you can use them to your advantage. It's not about being perfect at everything. It's about recognizing, where you naturally excel and finding roles that allow you to shine.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So how does this actually play out in a workplace setting? Does the expert give any specific examples of how they've used Clifton Strengths to address those dead horse situations?
Oh, absolutely. He talks about how he used it at Accenture to create a more effective and engaged team. And he had everybody take the Clifton Strengths assessment and then encourage them to share their results with each other. And then he used that information to realign tasks and responsibilities. So, for example, let's say you have someone on your team, we'll call her Linda, and her Clifton Strengths results show that she excels in ideation. So this means she's naturally good at brainstorming and coming up with new ideas. So recognizing this strength, you might assign her to contract drafting, which requires a lot of creative thinking and innovative solutions. On the other hand, if you have someone like Raphael, whose strength lies in analytical thinking, he might be a perfect fit for contract interpretation, where his ability to, dissect complex information and identify key details will be really valuable.
It's like putting the right pieces of the puzzle together.
Exactly.
By understanding each person's strengths, you can assign them to roles where they're naturally inclined to succeed. But is Clifton Strengths like a one-and-done kind of thing?
That's a great question, and it highlights a really important point. While Clifton Strengths is a powerful tool, it's not a magic bullet. You can't just assess strengths once and expect everything to just fall perfectly into place.
Right. You still need to manage effectively,
Mm.
provide guidance,
Yeah.
and be adaptable to change.
Exactly. Even with a strengths-based approach, there is still a need for ongoing observation and communication. And this is where good leadership really comes in. You need to be able to recognize when things aren't working, even if you've initially assigned tasks based on strengths.
So how can we as leaders, or even just individuals, get better at spotting those moments when things just aren't clicking, even after we've tried to set people up for success using, their strengths?
Well, this expert emphasizes the importance of paying attention to those subtle cues, Things like body language, changes in work quality, or even just a general lack of enthusiasm. Those can all be early indicators that something's off.
So it's about being attuned to what's going on with our team, not just relying on those initial strengths assessments.
Yeah, it's about combining those data-driven insights from tools like Clifton Strengths with good old-fashioned observation and communication. You have to be present and engaged as a leader. Don't be afraid to ask questions, check in regularly. And really listen to what your team is telling you, both verbally and non-verbally.
That's a great reminder. Sometimes we can get so focused on the data, on the process, that we forget about the human element. But this Expert seems to be advocating for a more holistic approach to leadership,
Indeed.
One that blends data and intuition.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes his advice so valuable. He's not suggesting that we abandon structure or strategy. Instead, he's encouraging us to use those tools in conjunction with our own powers of observation and our ability to connect with our teams on a human level.
So we've talked a lot about identifying those dead horse situations, but how do we actually address them once we've recognized them? Is it as simple as just saying, okay, this isn't working, let's move on?
Well, it's rarely that straightforward. But the first step is to acknowledge the situation. You know, don't try to sweep it under the rug or pretend it's not happening. Remember that Dakota proverb, the best way to deal with a dead horse is to dismount.
I love that analogy. It's so simple yet so profound. But dismounting can be scary. It can feel like admitting defeat.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. And it often requires us to confront our own egos and biases. But think about it this way. Staying mounted on a dead horse doesn't get you anywhere. It just keeps you stuck in a situation that's no longer serving you or your team. Dismounting, on the other hand, frees you up to find a new path, one that might actually lead you to where you want to go.
That's a great point. Dismounting isn't about giving up. It's about being strategic and redirecting your energy towards something that has a better chance of success. But what does that look like in practice? How do we know when it's time to dismount?
Yeah.
And what do we do once we've made that decision?
Well, that's where the art of leadership comes in. There's no one-size-fits-all answer. Each situation will require its own unique solution. But there are some general principles that can guide us. First, remember that it's okay to change course. It doesn't mean you failed. It means you're learning and adapting.
It's like being on a hike and realizing you've taken a wrong turn. You can either stubbornly keep going in the wrong direction, or you can backtrack and find the right path.
Exactly. And sometimes that means having difficult conversations, reassessing roles and responsibilities, or even making tough decisions about letting go of projects or initiatives that are no longer aligned with your overall goals.
So it's about being honest with ourselves and with our teams, recognizing when something isn't working, and having the courage to make a change.
Precisely. And remember that change doesn't have to be drastic. Sometimes a small adjustment is all it takes to get things back on track.
This is all really resonating with me. It seems like avoiding those dead horse situations is ultimately about finding that balance between sticking to a plan and being flexible enough to adapt when things aren't working.
Yeah, it's about knowing when to hold on and when to let go. It's about recognizing that leadership is a journey, not a destination. Then it's about being open to learning and growing along the way.
And all of this is applicable not just to leading a team, but also to managing our own personal goals and projects. We've talked a lot about the workplace, but I think these ideas have implications for how we approach life in general.
Oh, absolutely. The dead horse concept can apply to any area where we're investing our time and energy. Are there any personal goals that you've been stubbornly clinging to, even though they're no longer serving you?
Oh, I think we've all been there. That fitness goal that we keep setting year after year, even though we dread every workout.
Yeah.
Or that creative project that we started with great enthusiasm, but have now completely lost interest in.
Those are all dead horses in disguise.
Yeah.
And just like in the workplace, the best way to deal with them is to acknowledge the situation and have the courage to dismount. It's okay to change your mind, to adjust your goals, or to simply let go of something that's no longer bringing you joy or fulfillment.
I love that you're bringing this to a personal level because it's so easy to get stuck in those ruts, those patterns of behavior that we keep repeating, even though they're not really working for us. But just like with those dead horse situations at work, recognizing the problem is the first step towards finding a solution.
And sometimes that solution is as simple as asking yourself, what would it look like to dismount from this dead horse? What would it mean to let go of this goal, this project, this relationship, or this way of thinking that's no longer serving me?
That's such a powerful question. And I think it's the perfect segue into our final takeaway for today. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of dead horses and strengths-based leadership, what's the one thing we want our listeners to remember?
I think the most important takeaway is this. Recognizing and addressing dead horse situations, whether in your work or personal life, is not about failure. It's about wisdom. It's about making conscious choices that align with your values, your goals, and your overall well-being.
And it's about having the courage to dismount and the vision to find a new, more fulfilling path forward.
Yeah, it really is about empowerment, isn't it? Like taking control of our own journeys and making choices that lead to, you know, growth and fulfillment.
It is. And recognizing that those journeys will inevitably involve twists and turns, unexpected obstacles.
Yeah.
And yeah, even a few dead horses along the way.
Yeah.
But It's how we navigate those challenges, you know, how we learn from our experiences, and how we ultimately choose to move forward that defines who we are, both as individuals and as leaders.
You know, this whole conversation has really shifted my perspective. I used to think of dead horses as like purely negative things, you know, signs of like failure or setbacks. But now I'm starting to see them as opportunities. Opportunities for growth,
yeah.
You know, for course correction, and for making more aligned choices.
That's a great way to look at it. And it speaks to the resilience of the human spirit. We have this incredible capacity to adapt, to learn, and to keep moving forward even when faced with adversity. Mm-hmm. So for our listeners who are ready to embrace this new perspective and start identifying those dead horses in their own lives, what's our final takeaway? What's the one thing we want them to remember from this deep dive?
I think the most important thing to remember is this. Recognizing and addressing dead horse situations, whether at work or in your personal life, is not about failure. It's about wisdom. It's about making conscious choices that align with your values, your goals, and your overall well-being.
That's such a powerful message to end on, and it perfectly captures the spirit of this deep dive. So for all of you out there, as you navigate the, you know, complexities of work and life, remember the wisdom of that Dakota proverb, and don't be afraid to dismount those dead horses. Your time and energy are precious, so invest them wisely.
And never underestimate the power of playing to your strengths. You might be surprised what you can accomplish when you focus on what you do best.
So true. All right, that's it for today's deep dive. We hope you've enjoyed this exploration of dead horses and that you've gleaned some valuable insights that you can apply to your own life. Until next time, happy trails.